Don't worry, listeners. This week's episode will not be about the Easter Bunny or how people eat rabbits or how people eat hams. I will admit, I did think about it for a split second, but the subject matter just isn't as humorous as turkeys. Actually, there's really nothing funny about any of the news that we're going to cover this week. Although I suspect that may be subjective, depending on which side of the conversation you're on. Like in last week's episode, Sourcecast 112, this week we are going to revisit some news stories that we have covered. These news stories have blown up this week. They dominated the news, so I feel like I am uniquely positioned to discuss them. If you haven't been paying attention to tech news, President Donald Trump made some unflattering comments, yet again, about Amazon, which we'll cover, but it ultimately resulted in Amazon's stock taking a dip. And speaking of stock hits, last week we talked about Oracle taking a 9% hit due to their cloud performance. Well, this week, they are making up for that. Oracle has won their dispute with Google over Java, and that could yield an $8.8 billion payout to Oracle. And if I play my cards right, I will be able to connect the two stories in a meaningful way. So this week, we're talking about Oracle, we're talking about Google, we're talking about President Trump, and we're talking about Amazon. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast episode 113. Last month, I dedicated an entire episode of Sourcecast episode 108 to Google's issues with the European Union. And in that episode, we discovered that Oracle was actually funding the group that was driving the complaints in Europe against Google. It's clear that Oracle is attempting to slow Google's growth. Based on last week's podcast, their performance in the cloud space, which they are driving towards, is not going well compared to their competitors like Amazon and Google. So while Amazon and Google may not look like direct competitors on paper, because Oracle derives most of their profits through the sale of software and cloud subscriptions, and Google still currently derives most of their income and profit through advertising, you wouldn't necessarily think that they are vicious competitors, but that is not the case. And the animosity between the two companies has been percolating for years. One of the major issues between the two companies is this dispute over the fair use of Java, and it started in 2010. I'm going to try to simplify this as much as I can. Oracle acquired the rights to Java through their purchase of Sun Microsystems. In 2010, Oracle brought Google to court over their usage of Java in the creation of their Android operating system. There isn't a ton of Java code within Android, and Google specifically used Java APIs, which are application program interfaces, within the Android code. When Oracle first filed the case in 2010, it was remanded to the federal court in California, and that was to determine if Google should pay the fine in which Oracle was seeking, which at the time was $8.8 billion. Although Oracle is maintaining at the moment that that fine could grow since it's been so long. So here's the thing about APIs. Companies offer APIs so different technology platforms can talk to each other. So when you have your Apple phone, but you want to import all of your Google contacts over, there's an API to make those two things talk and connect. And then, of course, there are way more complicated scenarios, which I'm not going to get into. By using APIs, programmers don't have to write new code from scratch to make sure all of their different programs and all of these different devices out there are talking to each other. In 2016, a federal jury in California agreed with Google's assessment and defense of the lawsuit and said that the API usage was fair use and thus exempt from copyright law. Last Tuesday, the Federal Circuit reversed that opinion. Oracle's position is that APIs are freely available to those who want to build applications for computers and mobile devices, but they draw a line at anyone who wants to use them for a competing platform or embed them in an electronic device. Google tried to defend their position by saying they don't charge for Android, but the Federal Circuit panel in Washington stated that Android had generated more than $42 billion in revenue from advertising, and thus, it was commercial. According to a JDSpurra.com article, Google's use of Oracle's work was overwhelmingly commercial, and I quote, "First, the court held that Google's use of Oracle's works was overwhelmingly commercial, which weighed against a finding of fair use. Second, it held that the purpose and character of Google's use was not transformative as a matter of law because Google copied the declaring code and API structure verbatim and used them for the same underlying purpose as Oracle. The court was not persuaded by Google's argument that its use was transformative because it wrote its own implementing code, which the court found to be irrelevant. The court also rejected Google's argument that its incorporation of the declaring code and its APIs in a new context, smartphone mobile devices as opposed to computers, rendered the use transformative. In sum, the court concluded that verbatim copying of an identical purpose with only a mere change in format is insufficient as a matter of law to qualify as transformative. So this most recent ruling on this case is going to be problematic for software developers who have been using these APIs to help develop software and connect their software to larger platforms like Oracle or Google. So this will likely cost consumers more money and will also likely slow down solutions that connect platforms together, because now companies who develop software are going to have to triple check everything to make sure they are not in violation of copyright. A lot of this information I gleaned from a Bloomberg article, and it doesn't seem like this is the end of the story. It definitely sounds like Google is going to contest this ruling, which should make it, what, round 4 or 5? I will definitely continue to follow this story, and I will also pick up a thread about this story later on in this podcast. The other big news this week is that President Donald Trump is still angry with Amazon. Apparently, there is an article from Axio.com by Jonathan Swan that stated that Trump hates Amazon, but not Facebook. And as you recall from last week, Facebook is also not very popular at the moment. This Axio article details that President Trump is obsessed with Amazon. And I quote, "He has wondered aloud if there may be any way to go after Amazon with antitrust or anti-competition laws. Trump's most recent issues with Amazon surfaced as a result of discussing tax policy," it's always tax policy, "and antitrust cases." The article says that President Trump would love to go after CEO Jeff Bezos, but at the moment he doesn't have a plan. The Axios article goes on to say that Trump's wealthy friends basically hate Amazon because Amazon is destroying their businesses. Again, to quote the Axios article, his real estate buddies tell him, and he agrees, that Amazon is killing shopping malls and brick-and-mortar retailers. This Axios article effectively morphed into Trump posting on Twitter that Amazon is getting a free ride from the U.S. Postal Service and that the United States government is effectively subsidizing Amazon. So let's discuss this whole post office issue. Is Google taking advantage of the U.S. Postal Service? According to Neil Stern from Forbes.com, it is unclear as to whether Amazon causes tremendous losses for the U.S. because of its relationship with the post office. And I quote from the article, "While it is true that the post office loses money, that is due to a variety of reasons, from the rapid decline of first-class mail and the subsidy of post offices in many communities where it doesn't make economic sense. Parcel services have quadrupled in the last 4 years, and that volume is critical to maintaining revenue. Amazon in total is probably just as beneficial to the United States Postal Service, but certainly drives a hard bargain when it comes to carrier partners." So yeah, Amazon's probably getting a very good price, but they're driving so much volume that many postal offices in many states have been running Sunday service, which I doubt they would be doing if they were losing money. Another beef that Trump has with Amazon, which was well covered in Sourcecast episode 83, Trump versus Amazon, is his belief that Amazon pays no taxes in the United States. And again, according to Neil Stern from the Forbes.com article, Amazon, in fact, does pay taxes today. And we have covered this before. However, and I quote, "Amazon's historic growth came with great advantage of not collecting sales tax in most states. Ultimately, as their business model evolved, and Amazon has put multiple distribution centers in almost every state, companies must collect sales tax in markets where they are maintaining physical operation centers. So their tax advantage has been muted, but their momentum continues unabated." Neil Stern goes on to say that there is a loophole in this whole tax payment situation, and apparently suppliers on the Amazon marketplace do not collect sales tax. And also, no e-commerce retailer pays any local taxes. There have been several bipartisan efforts in Congress to force e-commerce players to collect sales tax or setting up a national e-commerce tax, which actually would be a very smart idea. And to go back to one of the other points that Trump made in the Axios article about Amazon putting several retailers out of business, well, that's true. Look at what happened with Toys R Us. I'm a person with a 6-year-old son, and I loathe the idea of having to walk into a Toys R Us to buy him something. It's always a nightmare. First of all, the stores are filthy. But why would you walk into a store if a kid has their heart set on a particular product and you have no idea if they have it in stock? With Amazon, it's a couple of clicks, you know they have it, you know they don't. And to me, that encompasses the entire problem with all of retail versus e-commerce. A couple of clicks, you know you have the thing that you want and it's going to be shipped to your house in a day. Versus walking into a store, you don't know if they have the things that you want in stock. Yeah, maybe you can call ahead or maybe you can check online, But by the time you do that, you could do the same thing on Amazon. But that being said, I totally realize what my shopping habits are doing to all these other stores. And I feel bad, with the exception of Walmart. I'm really glad that Amazon's beating Walmart. I am not a fan of Walmart. I don't like going in there. But I know that if Walmart goes away, there's a lot of people that are going to be out of a job. And then what? They're going to go out and buy a bunch of crappy RVs and be a part of Amazon's mobile workforce? Or wait until Amazon just takes over an entire town and puts people to work? I'm joking, but I'm not. So how can I possibly connect these two stories together? So as I mentioned in the Oracle versus Google post, Oracle is very good at working with governments or working through governments to enact their vengeance. And it's smart business. I'm not knocking them for that. But this situation has gone back and forth in the courts since 2010. And in 2016, when Google won the ruling, it seemed like that was going to be the end of the conversation. But there are some articles that are hinting, they're not directly calling this out, that perhaps there is a more favorable regulatory environment for Oracle rather than Google at the moment. While Amazon is the primary target for President Trump's ire, he's also not a fan of Google. Many of his business advisors feel like Google is getting too powerful. But Oracle has been working very nicely with the Trump administration. Oracle co-CEO Safra Catz is part of several business initiatives with President Trump's administration. And in fact, there have been rumors that she will be tapped to take on a more formal role within the Trump administration. So am I laying out a conspiracy? No. But I do find it interesting that Trump is working well with Oracle, and he has issues with Google, and there is some talk that maybe Google should just pay the fine and move on with their lives. We live in a world where the President of the United States will go on a social media platform like Twitter, randomly throw a company under the bus like Amazon, and suddenly their stock is going to take a hit. I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before. There was a Planet Money podcast episode that built an artificial intelligence program that scanned Trump's Twitter account, determined if he was talking about a company, and made stock investments accordingly. It's bizarre times that we live in. And it's so bizarre that I'm going to make the following statement. I typically don't get political on this podcast. I try to avoid it or try to be clinical. However, Amazon's growth has been concerning to me. I have mentioned that on previous podcasts. I do think that the company should be looked at for potentially getting too big. So I'm not going to say that I agree with the president, but I'm not going to say that I disagree with him either. So in this time, where we're not exactly sure what the motivation of our news sources is, or what the validity of it is, I'm going to leave you with that. And I'll let you make your own opinions about these topics.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.